This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Hello? What? What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Anita Marks in for the fellas here on the Michael Kay Show. So it is time for ENN. No, Peter. What does that mean? Anthony and Giselle, who are producing the show today, will pick up where Peter isn't here. So, gentlemen, take it away.
Well, first off, Anita, ENN is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. And as Peter always does, we say, good evening, Anita.
Google Anita Marks, Miami Fury.
Well, I'm not sure why we would do that. We know that Anita played football, and she did very well at it as well. Peter, how are you doing today?
Playoffs?
Oh, okay. And Michael?
Why?
And Don?
He's my friend.
Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, let's take a look at what we have on tap for today. So Josh Jacobs, who, if you guys have listened to Anita's show, touted him as a running back to look at in your draft.
Mm-hmm.
Him, along with Mark Andrews, were very helpful to a lot of us in fantasy, if you did listen to Anita. But he actually had surgery to fix an infection that he had in his leg, which is obviously not good for him or for the Raiders. And Anita, you'll appreciate this. There are people in Vegas that have a 10-situation parlay where if the Raiders did everything they needed to in Week 16 and Week 17, they would make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, they did the five things in Week 16 that they needed. This week, they need to win. The Titans and the Steelers both need to lose. And the Colts need to beat the Jaguars, or the Patriots need to win, because this affects the strength of schedule they have against the Steelers. If that happens, the Oakland Raiders will make the playoffs in the final year in Oakland. So, Anita, my question to you is, does that happen?
No way. You've got a Ravens team who's sitting all their players. It's not just Lamar Jackson. Mark Ingram is sitting. You've got Earl Thomas is sitting there. DBs are everybody. I mean, Pittsburgh could win with James Washington playing quarterback. So probably out of all those. All those situations, like, okay, yes, I see the Colts beating the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, right? Like, if Kansas City loses to the Chargers, I don't expect that. And the Texans put their best foot forward and have to beat the Tennessee Titans. Okay, I see that. But the one scenario that I can't see happening out of all those that you just lined up for me is I cannot see the Pittsburgh Steelers losing to the Baltimore Ravens. RG3 is getting the start there, by the way. So, no, I don't see it happening for the Oakland Raiders. But can I piggyback on that? I know you guys are driving the show, but one of the big storylines or topics of discussion is who should be coach of the year. And John Gruden has to be thrown into that mix. Because I don't know about you, I did not expect this Oakland Raiders team to win more than 3 games this season. And the fact that they are sitting a win away and other certain scenarios to play out for them, that they get into the postseason as the 6th seed, is remarkable to me. Absolutely remarkable. So I just want to give Gruden a shout out. I mean, he definitely, I don't think he wins it. Harbaugh will probably win it. Mike Tomlin might win it if, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers make it to the postseason. But boy, Gruden has to be in the discussion this year. Unbelievable coaching.
All right, Anita, our next story is Zion Williamson, the number one draft pick this year, who has yet to play, is apparently being taught how to walk and run differently by the Pelicans. They say his biomechanics are off and that's what's causing injury. Does this concern you at all?
No. I mean, if I recall properly, wasn't this the biggest red flag in regard to drafting him number one overall because of his body, his muscle mass? And his bone structure.
A lot of people thought he was too heavy at his size to be able to run without hurting himself.
You know, kind of like what we saw happen with Bo Jackson, right? Like unbelievable body size and athleticism for that weight and concern for injury because of it, especially when he takes his game to a whole new level from college to the NFL. So you asked me, am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. And based on everything we heard heading into the draft, you know, maybe this is a really wise thing to do. But I'm more intrigued. Like, how are they doing that? Like, what do you mean? How do you teach somebody? You can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? We've heard that before. Like, he's 18 years old. How do you teach somebody how to walk or run differently? And how is that going to affect his game? Right? Like,
I mean, however it changes his game, hopefully he's healthy enough to actually play.
Yeah, but you drafted him number one overall because of the game that you saw him play in college. Now you're going to change the way that he walks and runs?
Yeah, they want him to run more on his toes than on the balls of his feet or on his heels.
Interesting. Wow.
There'd be a lot of concern in this town if Zion was drafted here and he had not yet played and the discussion of fixing his mechanics in his running and his walking were an issue. It's getting buried a little bit in New Orleans, but I think there should be some cause for concern there.
Wow.
Moving on to some NFL draft news. Obviously, Tom McShay and Mel Kiper already put out their first mock draft. A quarterback that's going to be on those most likely very soon is Jacob Eason, the Washington quarterback. He has announced that he will forego his senior season to enter the draft. He spent 2016 and 2017 in Georgia, and he was a top-ranked quarterback in the class of 2016 as a true freshman, but he injured his knee in 2017 for the Bulldogs, ended up going to Washington, and this year upset number 19 Boise State in the Las Vegas Bowl. Mel Kiper Jr. had Eason as the number 4 quarterback in the 2020 draft class, behind the obvious of Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa for the top two. Anita, question for you. Where do you see Jacob Eason going in the draft?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I am head deep into playoff football. I have not had an opportunity to. I started making some calls in talking to a number of scouts, specifically about Joe Burrow and Chase Young. There's a prop bet out there who's going to be drafted number one overall. And Chase Young is favored right now. I think you could get on that prop bet. I think it's like minus 120. And Chase Young being drafted number one overall is plus 700. So the initial very skim the surface phone calls that I've made to a number of scouts out there pertaining to the combine and the draft had been specifically about Joe Burrow and Chase Young. So I don't know. I have not done that research. You know, let's take a look in regard to like how many teams are going to need a quarterback. So for example, the Miami Dolphins, right? Like granted, yes, they have, Ryan Fitzpatrick has done great, but I mean, he's not their future. So the Dolphins are going to be in the market for a quarterback. Who else is going to be in the market for a quarterback? Carolina, more than likely, right? It sounds like Cam Newton is moving on from Carolina. Obviously the Bengals, but the Bengals have the number one pick. Everybody is expecting them to draft Joe Burrow. Okay. What does the Detroit Lions do with Matthew Stafford? Do they go out and look for another quarterback? What happens with Phillip Rivers? Is his time up with the Chargers? Could the Chargers go out and be active and get their next quarterback to either start next season, depending on what happens with Phillip Rivers, or to start seasoning him? What about Chicago? Chicago's a team that, granted, they drafted Trubisky. If they're committed to Nagy, doesn't sound like Nagy's committed to Trubisky. So Chicago, are they going to be market for a new quarterback? Possibly. What happens with the Tampa Bay Bucks? Jameis Winston puts up unbelievable numbers, is leading the league in most passing yards this season and touchdowns. But you know what also? He turns the ball over a lot. So are the Bucks going to move on from Jameis Winston? I believe so. What happens with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is Mason Rudolph what they saw so far this year? Do you want to bank the next 10 years on Mason Rudolph? I wouldn't. Ben Roethlisberger came out this week and said that he's going to be ready to go next season. Okay, but this is an organization that needs to start preparing for life without Ben Roethlisberger. It looks like the Tennessee Titans are going to franchise tag Ryan Tannehill, and rightfully they should, based on the season that he's had ever since he took over for Marcus Mariota. It's been sensational. We had Ian O'Connor on with us earlier today. He said that the Colts really don't know what they're going to do with Jacoby Brissett. Could that be a landing place for Eli Manning? Do they go out and draft a new quarterback? What about the Jacksonville Jaguars? Minshew mania. Unbelievable. Had a great season when he came in. But is he the future for that franchise? Don't know. It looks like Drew Lock is the future. It looks like the Denver Broncos do like Drew Lock. I'm looking at some of the other teams here. So, I mean, I just listed a lot of quarterbacks. So chances are this kid will go in the first round based on the number of teams. There are a number of teams that heading into this year's draft are going to be in the market for a quarterback, whether they need him right now to come in and start or they want to draft a quarterback and start grooming him. Because you don't know, like, for example, what Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger are going to do. So I wouldn't be surprised if this kid is drafted in the first round. It's just going to be an interesting draft. A lot of teams are in the market for quarterbacks, that's for sure.
Deep Eddy Vodka was named after the oldest swimming hole in Austin, Texas, a place where people gathered for good times that never seemed to end. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled and made with real, all-natural ingredients and fruit juice. Wherever they go, they bring people together for carefree good times. That's the spirit of Deep Eddy. So grab your friends, mix with music, and a splash of Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly.
A lot has been made of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this year. They're winning games, but Aaron Rodgers isn't having a very Aaron Rodgers-like season. In fact, if he doesn't throw for 321 yards in his last game, it'll be the first time, or only the second time in his career since he became a starter, that he's going to throw for under 4,000 yards in a season. The only other time that happened was in 2015 when Jordan Nelson went down. Rodgers is 12th in passing yards, 11th in touchdowns, and 18th in completion percentage. But the team is winning. What do you make of that? Do you think Rodgers lost a step? Do you think the defense stepped up? Do you think he can still do it?
No, I don't think Rodgers has lost a step. It's a new offense with Matt LaFleur. And he's come in and he's changed this offense around. He's no longer, Aaron Rodgers is no longer, you know, that gunslinger where he's throwing the ball 40 times a game. It's just not the way that they're playing offense. This offense really, especially the last few weeks, it's all been about Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. And it's an offense that they play a lot more conservative football. It begins and ends with the rushing. So what LaFleur has brought in for the Green Bay Packers is instead of setting up the pass to help the run, what he's doing is he's establishing the run to open up play action and help Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers isn't throwing, like, he's lucky if he throws the ball 30 times a game, where the last previous seasons he's been averaging 40 passing attempts a game. It's just a different offense. So no, I don't think there's anything wrong with Aaron Rodgers. It's just a different offense he's playing in. So his stats are not what they used to be.
Anita, I know that you've heard, but in case anybody hasn't heard, Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin are back in the NFL. They signed with the Seahawks because, of course, the injury to Chris Carson and CJ Procise, both being out for the year, and the Seahawks, of course, being possibly a team that's going to get a bye in the playoffs. They're going to need some running back help. So they ended up signing Marshawn Lynch. And I know it's 6:13. We're not going to have a lot of time here, but I want to play the full Marshawn Lynch press conference when he got signed. Here we go. Take a listen.
Okay.
What brought you back this time?
Happy holidays. Merry New Year. Y'all have a great day. It's a great feeling to be back. Thank you.
And there we go. So Marshawn Lynch hopefully hasn't lost a step on the football field, but definitely hasn't lost a step when it comes to talking with the media.
He had me at Merry New Year. wasn't Marshawn Lynch seen, like, doing shots outside of a stadium last week prior to getting signed by the Seattle Seahawks? Like, This is going to be wild. You know, there's no denying he knows the system. He played for this team. He knows the offense. He knows the playbook. He knows Pete Carroll. He knows Russell Wilson. He knows all the tendencies. All that is great. But what shape? My biggest question mark is what shape is he in?
I feel like if there's anybody who could just come off of the street, come out of retirement and play really well in one game, it's Marshawn Lynch with a packet of Skittles in his back pocket, throwing them at the fans. I don't know. Just something about this screams Marshawn Lynch is going to have an amazing game when it comes playoff time.
I mean, what a fun storyline. What a phenomenal. Could you imagine Marshawn Lynch comes in? Somebody was saying this the other day. Can you imagine if the Seattle Seahawks advance and make it to the Super Bowl and they go up against the New England Patriots and it comes down to like one, the final play on the 1 yard line and then Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks finally make the right call and hand it to Marshawn Lynch. He scores a touchdown. The Seattle Seahawks win. Could you imagine? You couldn't write that story. You couldn't make that up. I couldn't. Could you imagine? I mean, it's so far-fetched. Obviously, nobody's expecting that to happen, but it could happen. Both these teams are going to the postseason. You imagine? How wild would that be? Anyway, what's next?
For your Baltimore Ravens, Anita, that's how I've dubbed them now. They're your Baltimore Ravens.
Why?
Because
so
you were in on them a little earlier than everybody else. You believed in Lamar Jackson, and you thought that this team had the potential to be better than I think a lot of teams thought this year. Everyone thought the Browns were going to win the AFC North.
I told you no.
That you didn't think that was going to happen.
I told you poop show.
I didn't think that was going to happen either, and you proved to be right. You took the under.
Yep.
I know you took the under. You told everybody to take the under on those 10 wins.
Winner, winner, steak dinner.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the issues that they have is an injury to Mark Ingram. Of course, he injured his calf, I believe, last week, and he said that he vows he will be ready for the Ravens' first playoff game, which, of course, since they have the home field and the bye, won't be for another 2 weeks. Mark Ingram said that he will be ready come the AFC divisional round. His 15 touchdowns scored are tied for third in the NFL. He did injure that calf in the fourth quarter against the Browns in a 31-15 win. When he addressed reporters today, he did have a noticeable limp. How important is Mark Ingram to this offense if he's not 100%?
All right, first things first. Mark Ingram is uber important to this offense. That's number one. He's going to rest this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Ravens have a first-round bye. So he has 2 weeks off to heal and get well and have that calf be ready. He said that he's going to be ready. Hypothetically speaking, let's say he is not. Justice Hill is another running back in that backfield who, for whatever reason, we have not seen a lot of this season. This kid is a video machine. This young man is sensational. Now, is it because they have a lot of depth at the running back position? Is it because Ingram has just been so sensational and such a leader and a voice on the offense and in the huddle? Possibly. But talent-wise, if Mark Ingram cannot go, Justice Hill is something special and can really do some great things in this Baltimore Ravens offense. Which, by the way, so again, playing around with a playoff machine on ESPN.com. I have the Baltimore Ravens, the one seed, the Patriots, the two seed. I've got Kansas City, the third seed, Houston, the fourth seed. So, round one of Wild Card Weekend, I have Tennessee going to Kansas City, and I have Buffalo going to the Texans. In those two matchups, I actually have Buffalo beating the Texans, and I have Tennessee losing to Kansas City. So, therefore, Kansas City then would head to New England and take on the Patriots, where Buffalo would head to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, which I think the Ravens would win that matchup. I think Kansas City beats New England in New England, and I think we're going to see a Baltimore Ravens-Kansas City Chiefs AFC championship game. And to me, that game, just as exciting as any Super Bowl matchup of any AFC team facing an NFC team. Like, to me, I think that, to me, that's the Super Bowl. Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes going up against the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Oh my gosh. To me, I would pay more money if it comes down to that. I would pay more money to watch that AFC championship game than any money that I would pay for any AFC team to take on any of the NFC teams. You agree with me or not?
I think that would be a heck of a matchup.
Would you pay more money for that matchup than, let's say, the Ravens against the Saints, or the Ravens against San Francisco, or the Ravens against Green Bay, or against Seattle?
I'm partial. As you know, when you asked me, I said I thought it was going to be Patriots-Saints a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you tried to tell me that you didn't think the Patriots were for real right before they played the Ravens. I really thought that the Patriots were going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ravens-Saints would be really compelling. And just because it is the Super Bowl, like, just having that extra motivation, just the fact that it is the championship, it's not the AFC championship, that for me, that would be fantastic. And I think that Lamar Jackson and Drew Brees would both have amazing games, and it would kind of be an offensive explosion of a game. That's probably where I would go in terms of the most exciting matchup.
Interesting.
And let's stick with one more local story
okay.
before we go. Jordan Renan actually reported this on ESPN. Marcus Golden had quite the Christmas because a stat correction gave him $1 million because he was credited with a half sack on Dwayne Haskins in the third quarter during last week's game against the Redskins. That gave him 9.5 sacks on the season. The stat was changed now to a full sack, which gives him 10, which kicks in a $1 million bonus that he signed this offseason if he reached double-digit sacks this year. So Marcus Golden got $1 million due to a stat correction, which has to feel good around Christmas time.
Could you imagine?
It's a lot of shoes.
How fantastic is that?
And he's played really well. I mean, out of all of the things in terms of what has gone wrong for the Giants this year, defensively, offensively, injuries,
he's been a stud.
Marcus Golden has been fantastic.
Oh, he's been a stud. But could you imagine the phone call? Can you imagine your agent calls you, hey, just want to let you know you're $1 million richer because of a stat correction? Merry Christmas to me. That is fantastic.
And he did say he earned it, and he did, and he would have had a chance to do it against Philadelphia this week. But it's nice to know you don't have to try and overexert yourself to get that extra $1 million bonus.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.